Good morning. Welcome to Monday morning. And welcome to Food Talk. I'm Marianne Myers, and I am joined by my ever fabulous co-host, Linda Perkins. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Marianne. I don't have my apron on. I mean, I just realized it. I didn't even think of it.
You know it's getting to be a thing.
I know. Well, I was doing my taxes this morning. If you'd like to send your sympathy cards, you can send them here to the station. But so I didn't even think of it. I just didn't even think of it.
We all deserve a sympathy card this time of year.
I know. Chain letter.
What's new with you, cooking-wise?
Let's see. I made some French toast in the oven.
Oh, yeah? How was that?
Well, it's kind of funny because you and I were talking a little bit about the pandemic before we got on the air. And Dale's boy was coming over for dinner. We were going to have breakfast for dinner. But it's been so long in this pandemic where we're not entertaining, you know, and not having people
yes.
in the house. I was like, three people for dinner. Oh, my gosh, what do I do? I mean, I was just like, running around the house, flailing my arms like a cartoon. Anyway, so I thought, oh, there's no possible way I could get French toast for three done in a frying pan in time. I mean, I don't know what overcame me. It was just the funniest thing. So I've always seen recipes on the internet where they do it in the oven.
Yep.
And so I thought I would try. So what you do is you just make regular French toast and then you put a Silpat on a cookie sheet.
Oh, yeah.
I had two cookie sheets and then you spray them. And it turned out okay, but it was dry. You know, when you fry it in a pan, I always use like half oil, half butter so that the butter doesn't burn. You know, it's not dry. And so it was kind of dry, but it was still okay. But it was fun to watch in the oven because, you know, when you mix up your milk and your eggs, and I use a little bit of vanilla, a little bit of cinnamon, but when you mix that up, essentially you make a custard, you know,
right.
And then you soak the bread in it. And so custards, just like they do in the oven, it puffed up.
Nice.
And then, of course, it fell immediately after you took it out of the oven. But yeah, it puffed up. And it made me think of, there was a restaurant back in Minnesota called Pannekuchen. Oh, it was such a funny place. And they had things that were essentially...
Is that cooked bread? What does that mean?
It's essentially like Dutch babies.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Remember? And they puff up. And same thing. They fall, you know, within a minute. And so the waitresses had to wear these little, like Swiss-looking, Swedish-looking dirndl outfits, you know, dresses. And then they had little earpieces. And this is, you know, that was a pretty new thing back then. And so they would be, or maybe they had little buzzers on their belts, but they would be taking your order and you'd like bacon with, and they'd go, Pannekuchen! They'd just yell, Pannekuchen! And then they would literally run off and get somebody's Pannekuchen and bring it out to them. But they always just reminded me of the seagulls Finding Dory?
Oh, Finding Nemo?
Nemo, it. Yeah, Doe. Finding Nemo, where they're like, mine, you know, where they just completely have no attention at all. They're just like, oh, welcome to, and then, you know, to our restaurant, how are you? Pannekuchen! They just run off. Just Pannekuchen! They yell it and just run off, and it was so funny. But yeah, it puffed up like that. But I think it's better when you fry it in the fry pan.
Yeah. I wonder if you don't have a Silpat, do you think you could use parchment and spray it?
Yeah, I think so.
Or
and
oil it
would probably work if you just sprayed it. It's just the woman who wrote the recipe stressed how much it wants to stick. You
oh,
know?
Right, right.
And so that's why she said a Silpat and spray it. And, you know, it did, a couple of them did, you know, really even try to stick to the Silpat. So I think that that maybe then if I sprayed it a whole bunch more and buttered the pan, maybe it'd be exactly like cooking it in a fry pan. You know, it probably would.
Yeah.
So and that's not a very exciting recipe, but I tried it and it worked, and it would work for a bunch of people. It would be.
It's the way to do it.
It's not awful. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And then you put butter on it afterwards.
Oh my
gosh.
Yeah.
So.
I like the whole concept of not awful.
I know,
actually.
I
was just
my bar is not very high.
I was reading a recipe the other day that really intrigued me, but it was an air fryer recipe,
mm-hmm.
and the caveat was that it came out almost as good if you did it in the oven. I was like, okay, well, you know what? I don't have an air fryer, and now I'm really not
inspired.
And I do
have an oven, so there. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It's sometimes, I guess, close is good enough.
Yeah.
Hey, I wonder, cookware question. Mm-hmm. I wonder if I've ever even asked this of you before. It's not like I have any retention of what we've discussed in the past, but I wonder if you have any copper cookware and what you think about it.
I do, and I'm particularly partial to it because I worked in a French restaurant for quite a while in, you know, a long time ago, but it was in my formative years, you know, in the 80s, and so I had a full set of copper cookware that I lost in the storm of 2007.
Oh.
That was very sad for me. And then I had one pot that didn't get lost, but its lid was lost. And so then I've been buying it, you know, since piece by piece. And I use it mostly in candy making. Oh. It retains heat so perfectly.
Yes.
And so evenly. So I make sure to buy thick bottom pots. But yeah, I really love it. So part of it is its use. I think it's worth its expense? No, but it has, because it's just so expensive.
Yeah,
but
it
has such a sentimental thing for me, you know, that, so that's a big reason. What do you think?
I have a set of, I don't even know how many pieces, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 pieces,
mm-hmm.
2 sautés, 2 saucepans, and you know, like a pasta pot,
mm-hmm.
That were my mom's.
Oh.
So I have a sentimental attachment to them also, but they are just perfect. And they are stainless lined.
Yeah.
They're like the old, they're Revereware.
Okay.
Remember Revereware?
Yeah, yeah.
It probably still exists. I don't even know. I don't buy that much cookware anymore because, you know,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't exactly wear out.
Yeah.
But I just love this stuff, and I use it more than anything else I have.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some pretty nice things, but I just love this, the copper. And I was thinking about it last night when I was doing the dishes. I was like, you know, I never polish the copper.
Mm-mm.
Never.
I don't either. Uh-uh.
And my mom used to polish the copper after every time she used this stuff.
Yeah.
And then I got it. And now, of course, I like to think of it as patina. But you know, I would have to tell you it's copper because you can't actually tell by looking anymore. But, I mean, it's not, to me, it's not a kitchen decoration. It's not
mm-hmm.
decor.
No,
it's
uh-uh.
cookware.
Yeah.
But
very, very utilitarian.
Yeah. I just love it.
Yeah.
And I agree. It holds heat. It heats fast.
Mm-hmm.
And on for us electric stove users, that counts.
Mm-hmm.
And I just really like it.
Yeah. When we got married, Dale had some copper Revereware, and he was exactly the same. He would polish it after every use. I mean, he kept it absolutely pristine, but that was lost also.
Oh,
in
man.
In that storm.
Mm-hmm. How do you lose metal cookware? I mean.
So I had a piano that I didn't find a single piece of.
Oh,
that's
my
how.
Gosh.
So.
It went away.
It got
okay.
very, very smashed and also blew. So.
Oh, yeah. Gosh.
I mean, our house was smashed so bad when after the tree removal guys left and they came in to demolish it, there were still three trees they found in the house.
Wow.
So, I mean, it was just, everything was very, very smashed.
It was done.
Yeah.
What
you been cooking?
Nothing exciting. We had salmon one night. It was delicious.
Yeah. Hey, did you see David Campisha's that salmon curry? Was it like a stew or a soup? That looked pretty good, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
In the
it sounded good. The photo didn't seem like it would be as good as it sounded to me.
Yeah, exactly. And there were a couple things in there, and I don't remember what they were now that I didn't have, but I think I would just leave them out.
Yeah. I'm, it's hard for me to depart from just a baked or a sauteed piece of salmon because I like the salmon so much. But I do try stuff every once in a while. And, you know, there's a ton of Asian recipes that do a lot with salmon.
Yeah. Teriyaki salmon, I think, is really good.
Yeah.
Grilled, really, really good. You know, we have some friends that live up in Alaska in the summer and they fish for salmon. They've got, you know, those licenses that are 7 digits. Anyway, they were trying to figure out new ways to cook salmon, and this is a long time ago. This is like 15 years ago, but I remember doing an experiment, and I cooked salmon like boy, 32 different ways, I think it was. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, and it was really fun. And one of the shocking things to come out of it was salmon pizza. Who would ever make that?
Really?
But it was just pizza crust, and then you put on like a white sauce,
uh-huh.
and then some dill and salmon, you know, stick it. I grill pizza, so I stick it out in the grill, and it was delicious.
Wow. I
would
never
think.
Like
you break it up into pieces.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It was, I mean, it was really, really good. Some cheese.
Yum. Having enough salmon to do all of that would just be like,
yeah. Well, and
ultimate luxury.
I didn't cook full recipes of even quarter recipes of everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was really, really fun. It was just giant salmon tasting menu.
Yeah. That would be very fun with a variety of
yeah.
things.
But I remember that the Asian ones were favorites. That's what made me think of it.
Yeah. In fact, the salmon that I had to choose, I was able to choose from when I bought it a week ago, was wild Alaskan salmon.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I haven't heard of any springers yet.
No, I think it's too early.
Yeah, not
or
one.
If any of them are coming out, they're not available to the public. You know what I mean?
Well, but you know, you always hear when somebody gets one, but I haven't heard of anything at all.
They're not that far away.
I know, pretty
soon.
Speaking of pizza, did you yes. hear that A&B Pizza down in Seaside, that they were voted number 11 on Yelp's list of the 50 best pizzerias in North America?
Yes.
Isn't that
I
something?
I heard that because you told me.
Sorry.
But I, you know what? I'm
You're
not.
You're so nice, I tell you twice. That's a poem by Linda Perkins.
I'm not surprised.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was just great. And then,
yes.
And I thought it was so funny when I was reading the Daily A the other day, the Coast Weekend, you know, they have that Reader's Choice.
Yes.
And so they have, now everybody's been nominated. And in the pizza category, he was number 5. So he's number 5 in Astoria. But he's number 11 in North America.
Oh, my gosh. North America includes Canada, right? So
yeah.
I don't know how big they are on pizza there.
Me
but,
either.
I don't know much about our neighbors
yeah.
other
Mexico,
than some very, pizza. Very nice people I know from there.
Yeah. Yeah.
What have you been cooking besides, what were we talking about you cooking?
French toast.
Oh, yeah, French toast. Yeah, I did breakfast for dinner, too, one night.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I really revere the days when I fix porridge for breakfast because that liberates eggs for dinner. And I feel like it's really day off adjacent, you know?
Yeah. When I make hash browns, I don't even know why I'm even mentioning this, but I always use just, you know how you can buy spice mixes in the store?
Yeah.
I just use Cajun seasoning. I put
oh,
that in,
really?
I put it in at the very end so it doesn't burn, you know?
Yeah.
But I really like Cajun seasoning and hash browns. I think that's really good.
I'm going to try it. I don't have a mix, but I could make something.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I mean, I only have 35 kinds of pepper, powdered pepper, all
Say
colors.
Say that on the radio, powdered pepper.
I think I could come up with something. I don't know. I've quit buying blends because I don't use enough of them. I mean,
yeah.
I guess if I found one that I loved so much that I would use it on a lot of ways like mm-hmm. that, I would, it would justify it. But to have a bottle of spices sitting around for a million years is just not like I don't. I'm sure mm-hmm. I do. But it's not an incentive to buy a bottle. More of an incentive to use what I've got to make up something.
I buy blends because I'm lazy.
Hey.
I got one bottle I got to shake and that's it and I'm done. Woohoo! Waving my arms like a cartoon.
So what blends do you like besides the Cajun?
Cajun, I use a lot of garlic powder. There's a blend that I buy that I put in my pizza dough. It's just like a bunch of pizza spices when I make pizza dough.
Uh-huh.
There's the spice store has something, what is it called? It's got tarragon and chervil and parsley, and I cannot remember its name. Paris seasoning, I really like that one. I mix that, well, is it cheating if I mix it, but I mix it with pink peppercorns, and I put
oh.
that on salmon, and man, I love it, and it's beautiful. And then, of course, things like, you know, garlic salt, celery salt, simple two-thing mixes.
Yeah.
But also, like, zhug or
uh-huh.
that's a spicy one that I like.
Zatar.
Harissa. Yeah. I do really like that. And a Greek seasoning. I remember once you're like, what's that? And I'm like, I don't know. It's Greek seasoning. But I use that a lot. So I do use a lot of them.
I want to take a sec and remind everybody that Food Talk is a co-production of KMUN and North Coast Food Web. And if you haven't, or if you have, but you haven't recently visited those websites, you really ought to do yourself a favor. NorthCoastFoodWeb.org and KMUN.org. And specifically and timely, the KMUN.org website has a lot of information about our birthday year and woohoo! All of the events that are coming up in celebration of that, because we are doing, you know, like a year-long celebration.
Yeah, and I think our show is on the actual birthday.
It is, and
so
it's
we're
serendipity.
We're excited. We're dressing up and everything.
We got our party hats and those little things that unroll and whistle. What are those called?
We don't know the name.
Party whistles. We don't know what
they are. Tweet. I don't know.
We'll come up with something. And if we bring confetti into the air room, yeah. We will be fired.
I know.
We
for
will.
Sure. I know. Would that be bad?
I'm sure it depends on who you ask, listening to the radio.
And then I just realized that I forgot a spice mix. Of course, curry powder.
Oh, of course.
I use so much of that.
I always have curry powder. Do you have a favorite? I mean, right now I've got, I'm trying to think, I have a specific regional curry powder, but there's a lot, curry powder is a huge category.
Yeah, yeah. And they're all different, and it's fun to taste them all, but, you know, Madras and all the ones, that's only a specific one I can think of right now.
Yeah, and actually that's the one I have sitting around.
So good.
And I use it in everything.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So that reminds me, you gave me a cookbook. Thank you very much. It's a Milk Street cookbook. I think it's called Cookish or something like that.
Yeah.
And I got that new thing I'm doing, and of course I meant to do it a lot, but I only did it once in the last 2 weeks. Sorry. To the seven of you.
You're not being tested.
No, we're
impressed that you're doing it at all.
But I opened up that book, and the first thing, it had something. I forget what, scallops or something, so I couldn't do that. But the next one, well, because I didn't have enough in my checking account, but then the next one.
Right, exactly. Are you saving up for later?
Saving up for, you know, mortgage anyway. But the next one was just a curry rice.
Oh.
So there's a rice I make that has saffron and a little bit of curry, and it's good. And I thought, why haven't I ever made curry rice? You know, I make curry noodles all the time, but I have never made curry rice. What the heck? And so it was a really simple recipe, just some vegetables, rice, you know, stir fry, like a fried rice, you know, just, and then it had curry, and it was delicious.
Oh, yum.
What's the matter with me?
Well, we can't think of everything.
I know.
Enough that we're cooking. Although I could tell you that personally, I at least half a dozen times a week, I wish I could think of everything because I get so tired of what I'm cooking.
Okay, but honestly, have you ever made curry rice?
No.
No, and it was really good.
No.
Yeah, and I just never thought of it.
I love kimchi fried rice a
lot.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. So I make it with bacon and kimchi.
Oh, yeah. That's a really good combination.
I can't remember if there's cilantro, but just those two things. Yeah, Dale loves it, too.
Yeah. I have sort of strayed from kimchi recently for a little while because I am so, I think I have consumed an entire jar of chili crisp all by myself.
Me too.
But it's really like asking for trouble to combine those two things in the same dish. So it's like,
you know,
one or the other.
I'll tell you the truth. I can't find the chili crisp I like here, and I buy it by the case over the internet. I mean, I just mow through that stuff.
Yeah.
I just love it.
It is so good on everything.
And then kimchi, Kim's Kitchen, they made such good kimchi.
Oh,
That's where I would go. You could go and you bring your quart jar and she'd fill it up and then, you know, tell you how much it was. And then you had really, really good kimchi. But I haven't found a kimchi that I love anywhere near as much as hers since she closed.
Yeah. So. Well, and I think it was also, not only did she have decades of experience, but she was Korean.
Yeah.
And it really helps when you're making kimchi. There is something that comes out in the pores of your skin that make the kimchi better and also make it impossible for us non-Koreans to be able to do it that way. Yeah.
It was really delicious. So I need to, like, work through my grief.
Hey, that's a tall order. Oh, yipes.
Well, it's time for the... Negative Nelly part of our show.
We don't have very much time, which is unfortunate because that's usually the biggest part of our show.
Oh, I was thinking about something. You know, you have really influenced me over the years for two things. One is local and organic, buying local and organic food, local and organic eating. And the second thing is the elimination of plastics. And every year I'm closer and closer to doing those things in toto. That was my fancy thing for
wherever
the day.
That is. Yeah. Oh,
anyway, I really kind of had to take pause and think about that big train derailment in Ohio, you know, and then just all that stuff that spewed out of there, and then they burnt it and everything. Ohio's, you know, kind of a breadbasket type state, you know, and there's a lot of stuff that comes out of Ohio. So, you know, of course, I looked it up. They make a lot of cheese, oats, cabbage, strawberries, corn, you know, a lot of livestock and dairy, but then also the stuff that is fed to livestock and dairy, haylage and hay and soybeans and corn and all that kind of stuff. I eat a lot of cottage cheese. I love it. But, you know, that's where it mainly comes from. And so I just started thinking that there's a decent chance that the stuff that comes out of there is going to be pretty awful. Because how do you get it out of the air and water, you know?
When I first started thinking about that during the Three Mile Island reactor snafu. And thinking about Hershey's chocolate.
Oh.
Because the cattle that they use for the milk that they use in there, you know, and it doesn't, for really huge conglomerates like that, it doesn't all come from one little location, but you know, the odds of something very that we wouldn't choose to put in our bodies or feed to our loved ones, odds are pretty good there's some of that in there. So I just really want to know who you are. Who are you that have the chickens that are laying the eggs? And what did you feed them? And I love my husband, and I'd like him to be able to live to be really old.
And just it's not so much like what they feed. I mean, it is what they feed them. But in this case, it's like, how do you stop the chickens from breathing that? I mean, you know, so it really made me think. I mean, it was what, like, you know, 50 zillion gigagallons of that hydro deadly iso poison oxy cancer ethylene or whatever that chemical was called.
God. Yeah.
So anyway, it's an incident that is pushing me even closer. I'm spending more time, you know, at the co-op and thinking and more about that than I even have.
We're coming up on farmer
yay!
Market season.
Yeah.
There are, I would also say that because more and more of us are thinking more and more about trying not to poison ourselves and those we love, that there are more and more local food producers.
Yes.
And by local, I mean for everybody's definition of local is different, probably. But for me personally, it is the lower Columbia Pacific, like Pacific County, Columbia County, Clatsop County, Tillamook County.
And for me, you know, it's different items. I have different definitions, you know. I mean, I want my tomatoes pretty close. I want my strawberries pretty close. But I'm happy if I get my flour from Oregon.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that, it's harder.
Yeah.
But, and so if I get it from Oregon, I feel like I've sourced it locally.
Yeah. And there is also just the not necessarily always considered, but important thing about how far it had to come to get to you.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, and also keeping our money close to home.
Yeah, yeah. That's, you know, feeding the economy is just as important.
Yeah. Having said that, you know, bananas. Bananas, chocolate, coffee. I could go on forever.
Lemons.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
That's just California, but it would be hard-pressed for me to not have lemons in my fridge.
It'd be really hard. I supreme an orange every single day for my husband's breakfast. Every single day, even on porridge days. So
for those of you that don't know what supreme is, it's a restaurant term for the fancy thing that she does to her orange, where she cuts off every membrane cuts, like how you'd cut a grapefruit, where you cut the
yeah. And I just leave it whole, cut off, I top and tail it like you would like you would a green bean, and then cut all of the orange, peel the rind off of it and any pith that's left behind, mm-hmm. and then just separate out the segments. And then you just have this core of membranes, mm-hmm. and you can squeeze it and get a ton of juice out of it. And then you just have a little dish of, you know, like fillet of orange fillets. Anyway, it is like having somebody hand you a dish of really ripe seeded watermelon. It's a gift. And it takes like 2 minutes. So it's not really much of a sacrifice, but it's special. And also I'm using an orange from miles away every single day. Yeah. So yeah, I don't know what I would do without coffee. I guess I would have to do a research project on growing wetland cold climate coffee. Yeah.
Well, and then we get it roasted locally.
Yes.
And I believe that burns everything off that you wouldn't want.
Oh,
but
my
I could
gosh.
Be very wrong.
I don't know. I also am always impressed by how resilient and defiant the human body is in terms of all of the things that are, you know, we're exposed to on a daily basis. Our bodies do a pretty darn good job, most cases anyway. Or else they delay the inevitable. And we make it until, you know, a ripe old age. So, I don't know. Anyway, we were talking about that a little bit this morning, about how lucky you and I are that we have managed through some very specific diligence to not get sick in the last few years. And that is something. Congratulations to everybody.
Well, and it comes at a toll. I'm completely incapable of entertaining anymore.
Oh, I know.
I mean, that's, you know, witness the French toast for three. Freak out that I
know. I think of it as, enforced unwelcome, or I don't know, like enforced agoraphobic. So used now to staying home alone that I don't even want to go outside. It's crazy. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Well, St. Patrick's Day is coming up.
That's right.
At my house, that means corned beef and cabbage.
Does it?
I got no problem with that.
That's what it means in very lot of...
It's just a simple dinner, and it's good, and it's like turkey. You have it once a year, you know?
Yeah, that's right. Do you corn your own beef, or do you get a corned beef?
You know, I have, but it really wasn't any better for how long it took. And for me, most importantly, how much refrigerator space, because you brine that piece of meat for like a week, and it's this big old, you know, Cambo tub in your fridge for a whole week, and that's a lot of room.
Yeah, that's right.
I think I only did it once. I made pastrami once too, and it was good. But boy, you can just go to the store and buy pastrami.
Yeah, that's right. That is right.
And the first brisket I bought, it was such a shock, because when you cut into it, it was like 1/9 meat and 8/9 like fat, and I didn't expect it to be that, so I had to go get a different one.
Oh. Well, we are coming right up on getting ourselves kicked out, because John Stevenson's in the house. And
his
right
show is so much better than ours.
Right after the news, he'll be in with a couple of hours of great music for us. So, Linda Perkins, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, Marianne.
Do you want to sing us out?
I'm driving my vegetables, I'm driving my green edibles, I'm driving my vegetables around. I am driving my broccoli, I'm driving my cauliflower, driving a bushel of corn home. See you next time.